Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
When we hear the name Tesla, many of us think electric car. But the name comes from Nikola Tesla, an engineer and inventor whose life spanned from the mid-19th to mid-20th century.
Although he was instrumental in developing advancements in electricity, lighting, radio, and even remote control, he would die penniless and quickly be forgotten for decades.
It is only recently that his achievements and his place in history have become widely recognized again.
Perhaps that's a testament to how far ahead of his time he actually was.
But it is also because he led a life that could only be described as eccentric.
Now that his name has become more prominent, even if it is just as a luxury car brand, it is only fitting that we wonder who this man actually was. Today, we try to shed some light on this intellectual luminary. This is the life of engineer and inventor Nikola Tesla. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
And I'm Carter Roy. Welcome to Historical Figures. If you want to listen to any previous episodes of Historical Figures, you can find them on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory.
And if you like the show, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review.
Yeah, it seems simple, but it helps us keep the show going. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast, and on Twitter at Parcast Network. Don't forget to subscribe, because a new episode comes out every Wednesday. Nikola Tesla was born on July 10, 1856, in the region of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, now known as Croatia.
But his parents were Serbian, which could have been an issue because the two ethnic groups, Serbs and Croats, were and are well-known rivals.
However, Tesla was a lifelong pacifist, and he was later quoted as saying he was equally proud of both his Serbian and Croatian heritage.
Nikola's father, Milutin Tesla, was a priest in the Serbian Orthodox Church. He worked in the local parish in the village of Smiljan, which is located between the Adriatic Sea and the Velebit Mountains.
Milutin was also a writer and poet. He prided himself on his prodigious memory. He joked that if all the classics of literature were destroyed, he could restore them from memory.
The learned priest kept a large library in the house, and Nikola, who began reading at a young age, was soon caught up in the books. He read constantly, no matter what time of day it was.
Milutin Tesla was afraid that young Nikola, affectionately called Niko, would ruin his eyes reading at night, so he took away all his son's candles.
But Nikola would not be deterred. He made his own candles from scraps of wax and then stuffed rags under his bedroom door so no light would escape and alert his father.
Sounds like an early sign of that industrious, inventive spirit.
I think so, though Nikola's life wasn't all books when he was growing up. The family home was a small farm, and he spent hours playing with the animals and enjoying the outdoors.
He also played with his siblings. Nikola had an older brother, Dane, older sisters, Milka and Angelina, who looked after him. He also had a younger sister, Marika.
Watching over the whole brood was Tesla's mother, Georgina, better known as Juka. Although, as a woman, she had been deprived of a formal education, she possessed a memory that was as impressive as her husband's, and often would recite Serbian poetry to the children at night. Georgina came from a family of inventors, and she had a knack for invention as well. Young Nikola saw his mother build tools and small machines like looms and even a mechanical kitchen mixer to ease the burden of keeping up with five kids and a farm.
Tesla later wrote, "I must trace to my mother's influence whatever inventiveness I possess."
At the same time, Niko received daily training from his father.
His father would have him participate in various exercises of the mind, guessing one another's thoughts, repeating long sentences, or performing mental calculations. Tesla concluded that these lessons were beneficial in strengthening his memory and developing his critical reasoning.
It was all idyllic until one day.
His older brother Dane, who his parents considered the family genius, went horseback riding. There was an accident, and sadly, Dane was killed.
It was a crushing blow to the Tesla family, and it would reverberate for Nikola his entire life. Some reports say he saw the accident, and others that young Nikola spooked the horse, causing it. Whether or not Nikola was involved, losing his brother devastated the young boy.
He felt an obligation to make up for his parents' loss and alleviate their sadness.
He also felt an overwhelming sense of guilt that he, and not Dane, had survived.
Later, Tesla would confess that he was driven to mental exhaustion, trying to prove himself worthy of his parents' love. He said, quote, "Anything I did that was credible merely caused my parents to feel their loss more keenly, so I grew up with little confidence in myself."
It is speculation, but given his strange behavior in later years, many concluded that Tesla had obsessive-compulsive disorder. Recent studies have linked the onset of OCD with significant traumatic events, so it's very likely this incident spurred the start of the disorder, and this traumatic incident could be the root of that affliction.
After his brother's passing, there was more tension at home between Nikola and his father. Now the only son, Nikola was expected to follow in his father's footsteps by becoming a priest.
But young Nikola had his heart set on being an engineer, and he didn't seem cut out for priestly duties.
Reverend Tesla gave Nikola the job of ringing the church bell on Sunday. On the first Sunday, he rang the bell perfectly fine. He raced down the stairs from the belfry, ready to make his father proud, when he stepped on the mayor's wife's skirt and ripped it off her body.
Whoops. Here's another sign. Later, when he was about 6 or 7, Nikola attended the demonstration of the town's new fire engine. The hose of the engine was plunged in the lake, but despite the best efforts of the captain and the crew, no water was produced. 16 firemen were unable to get the hose to work. Nikola plunged into the icy waters and was able to straighten out the collapsed suction hose, saving the day.
Though his father wanted him to be a priest and Nikola wanted to be an engineer, that choice was years away. He had many years of school to attend.
He attended public school for 4 years in Gospic, where his family moved in 1862.
From there, it was on to the real gymnasium of Karlstadt in Austria, where he worked with mechanical models for the first time and built his first turbines.
He was also excelling in math. One time his teacher accused him of cheating because Nikola was able to perform calculations in his head faster than the teacher could write them on the board. Tesla graduated from the gymnasium in Austria in 1873 at the age of 17. At that time, a cholera epidemic was sweeping his home country, so his parents urged him not to return.
Let me guess. He returned anyway?
And immediately caught cholera.
But this grim news ultimately became a blessing in disguise, because Nikola used the illness to get a concession from his father. Reverend Tesla promised his son that if he survived, he could attend the famous Austrian Polytechnic School at Graz to study engineering.
With that on the line, Niko was going to do everything in his power to pull through.
And he did, but not before taking a year off to restore his health.
Once enrolled, he studied mechanical and electrical engineering.
It was no surprise he chose that course of study. Electricity had been an obsession of Nikola's since he first saw it at just 3 years old. On the farm, the family had a black cat named Macaque.
As Tesla told the story, Macaque was the finest of all cats in the world. He was stroking the cat's back one day. Suddenly, the cat's whole back lit up and a stream of sparks shot off the cat. According to Tesla, it was so loud the whole house could hear it. It stunned and fascinated the boy. His father quickly explained the phenomenon, saying it was nothing but electricity, the same thing you see through the trees in a storm.
Tesla wondered to himself, is nature a gigantic cat? And if so, who could be stroking its back but God?
Pretty abstract thoughts for a three-year-old.
Tesla may have been overdramatic in his description, but he had experienced static electricity. And now here he was in college, years later, thinking about electricity again. Except now, he was dealing with motors and electric currents rather than sparks off a cat's back.
It was at the Austrian Polytechnic School that Nikola started thinking about alternating current. Without getting too technical, there are two types of current, direct and alternating. For direct current, the electrons travel in one direction through the closed loop of an electrical circuit, like runners doing laps around a track. For alternating current, electrons travel back and forth across the same small section of a circuit, like when you play fetch with your dog and your dog runs away from you and then back to you across the same section of the yard, over and over and over again.
But unlike your dog, alternating current doesn't ever get tired. It uses less energy than direct current because each electron travels less.
Right. So back to Tesla. In the 1870s, electric motors worked on direct current. Alternating current was a great idea in theory, but no one had come up with a way to make a functional alternating current motor. That theoretical alternating current motor occupied Tesla's mind.
Direct current motors required a sparking device called a commutator to reverse the direction of the current. But Tesla speculated that it might be possible to do away with the sparking connections, creating a current that could change direction more easily. He was obsessed with this idea. Eventually, Tesla came to a solution.
The key word is eventually, because for now, Nikola Tesla was a young man in his early 20s.
And like most people in their 20s, his interests expanded well beyond his studies. He started gambling, first playing cards, and then taking up billiards.
He borrowed money from his mother and started drinking, smoking, and chasing women.
It was very distressing to his family to see their bright young son addicted to alcohol, nicotine, and gambling.
And most distressing of all, he was forced to drop out of school when he gambled away all of his tuition money.
He continued his rebel lifestyle until 1879, when Milton Tesla died. It was a wake-up call. Nikola's mother called him to task for his lifestyle, and Nikola reformed at once. As he later said, he changed his life without a backward glance.
He cut out smoking and caffeine, he cut back on alcohol, and he got to work finding a job.
He spent some time in Prague, then moved to Budapest. Thanks to a reference from an uncle, he landed a position as a draftsman with the Central Telephone Exchange of the Hungarian government.
Telephone and telegraph services were new to the city of Budapest, and Tesla dove into learning about them.
But there was one more step back.
Nikola started to suffer from a strange illness. His heart raced and he twitched and trembled for no apparent reason. His hearing, already strong, became so acute that he claimed the ticking of a watch or the buzzing of a fly caused him pain and agony. When he walked in the sun, the bright rays beating down on his head stunned him.
And the doctors in Budapest didn't have a clear diagnosis. Many people thought Tesla was experiencing a nervous breakdown.
But as mysteriously as the illness appeared, it went away. Suddenly, Nikola felt vibrant and filled with energy. Able to comfortably spend time outside again, Tesla took long walks with his friend Anatol, where they would discuss the idea of an alternating current motor, which Tesla was still puzzling over.
And it was on one of those walks where inspiration struck Nikola Tesla. He was walking through a park at sunset with a friend, reciting poetry, quote, "The glow retreats, done is the day of toil. It yonder hastes, new fields of life exploring." Ah, that no wing can lift me from the soil, upon its track to follow, follow soaring, end quote. As he began quoting lines from Goethe Faust, suddenly he had a vision.
He later said the idea came like a flash of lightning. He picked up a stick and started drawing what he saw in the sand.
It was what we know today as the induction motor.
Our story will continue in a moment after a brief message.
And now, let's continue our story.
No brush, no commutator, a motor turned by a magnetic field. It was a simple plan, but it changed our daily lives forever.
Now Nikola had a clear design, but the culmination of that effort was still 6 years away.
He still had to build the thing, after all.
While Tesla was working in Europe, he made a connection with Charles Batchelor, a longtime associate of Thomas Edison.
Yes, that Thomas Edison, the famed inventor, the light bulb, the Wizard of Menlo Park.
When Batchelor, then running the Continental Edison Company in Europe, was recalled from Paris in 1884 to manage the Edison Machine Works in America, he asked that Tesla be brought along as well.
So 28-year-old Nikola Tesla appeared before the great Edison himself in the summer of 1884. Tesla was desperate for a job because he was out of money, and all he had was a letter of introduction from Charles Batchelor.
But the letter was quite impressive. Batchelor had written to Edison, "I know two great men, and you are one of them. The other is this young man."
Unfortunately, Edison was not impressed. What he saw before him was a strange foreigner, 6.5 feet tall and quite skinny, dressed in a bowler hat and with a finely trimmed mustache.
The rumpled and weary Edison asked Tesla what he could do.
Tesla proceeded to detail the work he had been doing in France and Germany and described his plan to develop induction motors made to run smoothly and powerfully on alternating current.
Edison, of course, was skeptical of this idea. Like most people at the time, he thought an alternating current motor was impossible, and it was dangerous to think about. Electricity was a new invention.
Accidents could and did happen. In addition to that, Edison had built his empire on direct current, and what Tesla was talking about would mean the end of that industry.
All in all, things were not going as Tesla had hoped. He was just about to leave when Edison stopped him. A ship, the SS Oregon, had been stuck in port awaiting electrical repairs, and Edison had no more engineers to fix the problem. He asked Tesla if he could do the job. When Tesla agreed and was able to fix the ship's problem within 24 hours, Edison offered him a permanent position. Thus, the collaboration of these two geniuses began.
But it was an unlikely partnership from the very beginning. Although Tesla greatly admired Edison, they were two very different personalities.
Tesla was fastidious and a complete germaphobe. He was driven to excessive cleanliness, to the point where many people believe he suffered from OCD. To further claim that he suffered from OCD, Tesla admitted that the thought of touching someone's hair disturbed him, as did the sight of a pearl, a peach, or earrings on a woman. He was, at the very least, particular.
Meanwhile, Edison was, to put it bluntly, a mess. As Tesla himself said, Edison lived in utter disregard of the most elementary rules of hygiene.
And they also differed in their approach to problem solving. Tesla believed in a mathematical approach, while Edison tended to favor a blunt force method.
This approach certainly worked for Edison when he had enough time and manpower dedicated to a problem, such as finding a filament for the light bulb.
But Tesla thought that with a little theory and calculation, Edison could save up to 90% of his labor.
The one trait the two had in common was that they were dedicated to their work and required little sleep. Edison took catnaps in the lab and on a cot in his office. Tesla worked every day from about 10:30 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yes, that's from 10:30 in the morning, 19 and a half hours straight through to the next morning.
It was not uncommon for either to go 2 or 3 days without any sleep at all.
Although Tesla was now working for Edison, his real dream was to build his own lab so he could start working on his plan for alternating current.
And he saw an opportunity when he told Edison how he could overhaul the dynamos at the Edison plant to make them work more efficiently. Edison promised Tesla $50,000 if he succeeded.
Dynamo has become an old-fashioned term because it refers to a generator that uses a commutator to produce direct current electricity.
In modern times, they've mostly been replaced with alternating current generators, aka alternators.
Tesla went to work on the dynamos and several months later told Edison the overhaul was successfully completed. But when he asked for the 50 grand bonus, Edison balked.
Edison claimed that the offer had been made in jest, that $50,000 was a joke.
When Tesla threatened to resign, Edison offered him a raise.
It was the least he could do.
Well, the amount Edison offered? $10 a week, bringing Tesla's total pay to $28 a week, which is about $670 nowadays. Edison also warned him that if he chose to leave, he would have difficulty finding another engineering job.
Despite having no other prospects, Tesla turned him down.
And thus ended their working relationship.
On the bright side, Tesla had stood up to a bully and had his pride intact. The downside, to make ends meet while he pitched his idea to other companies, he had to work digging ditches in Manhattan. But he was quickly approached by a group of investors who asked him to design improved arc lighting for the hazardous streets and factories.
It wasn't the opportunity Tesla was looking for, but the group was willing to finance the Tesla Electric Light Company, so he took it.
In 1887, when he was 31 years old, Tesla set up shop in his new lab at 89 Liberty Street.
Although the company was focused on street lighting, he returned again to his research on an alternating current motor.
He had a plan, but still no working motor. But he was confident he knew how to build it because Nikola Tesla believed he had a very unusual gift. At first, he considered it an affliction, but since childhood, Tesla experienced strange visions. He'd see strong flashes of light, followed by images and scenes so vivid that he couldn't tell if what he was looking at was real or imagined. One such vision was of the induction motor in Budapest.
Throughout his life, no doctor was able to explain the phenomenon to him.
The only explanation Tesla himself could come up with is that his brain was thinking so much about something that it was actually putting images on his retina for him to see.
I'm not sure it physiologically makes sense, but it worked for Tesla. He was convinced that once he had visualized something, he could make it a reality.
So with that in mind, Tesla began to build the machine he saw in his vision in Hungary years before. He was out to change the world.
At that time, in New York City, direct current was the only game in town, and Edison was the master of direct current. The major drawback? The current could not be carried over long distances.
Basically, all the lighting had to be within 1 mile of a power plant, because each individual electron had to be able to travel in a loop to the light and then back to the plant.
However, with Tesla's alternating current, the electrons would barely have to move at all, so he built his motor.
In November and December of 1887, Tesla patented a complete system of alternating current generators, transformers, transmission lines, motors, and lighting for 7 patents total. And on May 16, 1888, 31-year-old Nikola Tesla stood before the prestigious American Institute of Electrical Engineers at Columbia University. Using handwritten notes, he delivered a lecture, A New System of Alternating Current Motors and Transformers.
As part of his demonstration, he showed off his induction motor.
It's not exaggerating to say that Tesla's presentation that day began a new era in technology.
Pittsburgh industrialist George Westinghouse heard about the lecture and realized this could be the missing link in long-distance power transmission.
He came to Tesla's lab prepared to offer him up to $1 million for the 7 patents.
In the final deal, Tesla took $60,000 and 150 shares of stock in Westinghouse Corporation up front, along with a royalty payment of $2.50 for every horsepower of electrical capacity sold.
It was a deal that would have made Tesla one of the world's wealthiest men.
Would have?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. At this point, it made Tesla very comfortable.
Tesla, teaming up with Westinghouse, began what was called the War of the Currents, with Edison on one side and Westinghouse and Tesla on the other.
Edison wasn't going down without a fight.
Which is not surprising, because there were millions and potentially billions of dollars at stake.
Edison claimed that Tesla's alternating current was dangerous because of the high voltage. He secretly enlisted the help of an engineer named Harold Brown, who gave demonstrations against alternating current that were quite gruesome.
How gruesome? They often included the electrocution of dogs and other animals.
Then Brown and Edison took it a step further. New York legislators were influenced to change the method of execution in the state to the electric chair.
And, not surprisingly, Brown, secretly funded by Edison, designed this chair to work on alternating current.
The theory being, this is a method we use to put killers to death. It shouldn't be allowed in our lives and homes.
With the electric chair ready, convicted murderer William Kemmler was sentenced to death by alternating current.
Westinghouse fought back, hiring a top lawyer to overturn Kemmler's sentence, even taking it to the Supreme Court.
But Edison won out. On August 6, 1890, convicted murderer William Kemmler became the first man legally executed by the electric chair. Thanks to the intervention of Harold Brown, the chair was powered by Westinghouse generators, created with Tesla's patents.
But it wasn't instantaneous. It took 4 minutes for Kemmler to die. It was gruesome, and colloquially, death by the electric chair was called being Westinghoused.
However, in this difficult time, Tesla made what he considered to be his greatest achievement. On July 30th, 1891, 35-year-old Nikola Tesla became an American citizen.
Tesla often said that he valued his certificate of naturalization above all the other honors he received in his life.
And those honors were about to come. The 1893 World's Fair in Chicago was planned as the first all-electric World's Fair, and there was an open contract to illuminate the fair.
Both Westinghouse and Edison put in bids for the contract, though Edison's company was now known as General Electric after J.P. Morgan bought out the company. GE bid lighting the fair with direct current at $1.8 million, and when that was rejected, at $554,000. Westinghouse put in a bid at $399,000, which he was able to do because alternating current is so much cheaper than direct current.
Obviously, they awarded Westinghouse the contract. A big win in the current war, because now people from all over the world would see hundreds of thousands of lights powered by alternating current, assuming it worked.
On the first evening of the fair, President Grover Cleveland stepped up to a switch. And with one push of the button, turned on 100,000 lights.
An orchestra played Handel's Hallelujah Chorus.
Electrically operated fountains shot water skyward.
And cannons boomed.
The sight was so impressive that when children's book author L. Frank Baum saw it, he used it as the inspiration for the Emerald City in The Wizard of Oz.
Tesla had his own exhibit at the fair. In one trick, he walked on stage wearing shoes with thick rubber soles. Then he'd allow 2 million volts of electricity to pass through his body, creating a halo of electric flames around himself.
The fair was a triumph for Tesla. From that point forward, more than 80% of all electrical devices ordered in the U.S. were for alternating current.
Later that same year, 1893, Westinghouse was awarded the contract to harness Niagara Falls as a source of power for Buffalo, New York. Skeptics abounded, but Westinghouse and Tesla were confident they could eventually power not just Buffalo, but large portions of the East Coast.
This project was particularly special to Tesla because he had seen a picture of Niagara Falls growing up and had one of his visions around it. Now he was actually getting the opportunity to harness this great force of nature.
After 2 years of hard work, the project was coming along nicely when disaster struck.
We'll return to our story in just a moment from the Parcast Network.
Now our story continues.
At 2:30 a.m. on March 13, 1895, fire broke out in the first floor of the building containing Tesla's laboratory. The fire destroyed everything, including hundreds of models, plans, notes, lab data, tools, and photographs. A headline in the New York Herald said, "Fruits of genius were swept away," and noted that years of labor were lost.
Tesla was in a daze. He briefly cut himself off from the world, disappearing and leaving his worried friends to search for him. After his success at the World's Fair, Tesla had many high society friends, notably Mark Twain, who enjoyed visiting the lab and toying with Tesla's inventions before it burned down.
After some time to mourn the loss in the fire, Tesla came out of hiding and got back to business.
In November of 1896, when Nikola Tesla was 40 years old, the Niagara Falls project was completed. But now, would it work?
The local authorities were nervous, but on midnight of November 16th, the first power reached Buffalo, New York.
It was another smashing success for Tesla. But Westinghouse itself was under pressure. They'd been hit with financial trouble. The company was in danger of going under. George Westinghouse approached Tesla and told him he needed a break. There was no way he could pay out the royalties.
Out of loyalty, Tesla tore up the deal and gave up all his royalties.
Ah, so that was why Tesla didn't become a billionaire.
Nope. What mattered most to Tesla was the work anyway, and he was always looking for new projects. In 1899, he embarked on a new project in Colorado Springs. He built a lab that was over 6,000 feet above sea level and said he was trying to send a radio transmission from there to Paris.
When the station came on, bolts of lightning, more than 100 feet in length, shot out of the transmission tower. And then, suddenly, they stopped.
The station knocked out the power of the local electric company. Indeed, the whole city lost power.
Tesla was in Colorado Springs for 9 months, but the results of his experiments weren't clear.
This was something that would be repeated in Tesla's later years, the grandiose projects that seemed to go nowhere.
So Tesla returned to New York. He enjoyed New York. He had a routine there.
Right, a very particular routine. Throughout the 1890s, Tesla had settled into a work schedule that went from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
He would show up at the fashionable New York restaurant Delmonico's for dinner at exactly 8:10 p.m. He would have to be served by the head waiter and generally would dine alone. He would avoid shaking hands and repolish the clean dishes and silverware put before him. Then he went back to the lab to work until 3 a.m.
He clearly had an affinity for numbers divisible by 3.
That was probably why he chose to eat at 8:10, because 81 is 3 to the 4th power.
Yes, and if he started walking around the block, he would continue until he had circled it 3 times.
And in his later years, when he was living in hotel rooms, he always chose a room whose number was divisible by 3. And the number 3 would factor into his death later on.
But in 1900, that was years away, with financing from J.P. Morgan, Tesla commenced building a huge transmission tower in Long Island. It was called Wardenclyffe.
At first, Tesla rode the train out each day from Manhattan, but eventually he moved to the site. The project was bigger than anticipated. Tesla kept building more and kept running out of money, unable to complete the project. Eventually, he could find no more investors, and by 1905, he abandoned the project.
He focused on a new area of expertise, wireless radio transmissions.
This was something he'd been interested in for a while, but it hadn't had his full attention. In 1891, he had invented the Tesla coil, a radio frequency oscillator that drives a transformer to produce high voltages at low current. Tesla coils were used in many early radio transmitters.
In fact, that raises the question, who invented radio?
Now, many credit Guglielmo Marconi, But the real answer is not so clear.
First, there were many people working simultaneously on similar projects, so there were discoveries that overlapped. Second, there was big business involved, so the influence of corporations, along with the fortunes at stake, played a role.
What we do know is that Tesla applied for his radio patents in 1897, and that Marconi didn't apply for his patents until 1900. However, Marconi and Ferdinand Braun got all the credit when they were awarded the 1909 Nobel Prize in Physics for their work in radio.
Tesla actually liked Marconi and respected his work. Still, it had to be a little galling that Marconi got the credit as the inventor and profited heavily from radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court actually ruled in 1943 that it was Tesla who invented radio. Sadly, the ruling came just a few months after Tesla died.
This was a pattern for Tesla. He didn't always profit from his work. Remember his deal to collect royalties from Westinghouse?
Right. And here's another time he didn't profit. In 1915, there was a press dispatch that Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison were to share the Nobel Prize in Physics. It would be a tremendous honor to Tesla, with the caveat he was sharing it with his rival Edison. Alas, the report was mistaken, and despite his many achievements, there would be no Nobel Prize for Tesla that year, or any subsequent one. The prize in 1915 didn't even go to Edison, but to Sir William Henry Bragg and William Lawrence Bragg for, quote, their services in the analysis of crystal structure by means of X-rays.
But money wasn't a motivating factor for Tesla. The work was. He was committed to his inventions more than anything. Tesla once said, I do not believe an inventor should marry because he has so intense a nature, with so much of it wild, passionate quality, that in giving himself to a woman he might love, he would give everything and so take everything from his chosen field.
He added that, I do not think you can name many great inventions that have been made by married men. He never married and never had children.
Still, there is considerable speculation about Tesla's love life. He has been linked with various socialites and heiresses, and even the French actress Sarah Bernhardt. But whether those were romances or friendships is unclear.
Tesla himself once told a reporter, I never touched a woman.
But perhaps he was just being coy. In another interview, he said, I destroyed my sexuality at the age of 33 because a certain French actress kept coming to me, making it impossible for me to concentrate.
With no family and no Westinghouse royalties, Tesla was increasingly dependent on the kindness of others over the last few decades of his life.
It seems Tesla's greatest triumphs were behind him. For the most part, Tesla gently faded into obscurity.
He began moving from hotel to hotel in New York City, and because money was often tight, he would sometimes walk out on his bill.
But he would still make sure he always stayed in a room where the number was divisible by three.
And Tesla became a vegetarian, existing on a diet of milk, bread, honey, and vegetable juices.
Pigeons were now an important part of his life as well.
Weirdly important.
He would walk to the park every day to feed the pigeons. He would take ailing pigeons back to his hotel room and nurse them back to health. There was even a special pigeon that captured his heart. He wrote, I loved that pigeon as a man loved a woman. As long as I had her, there was a purpose to my life.
He may not have felt he had purpose, but he did still have an uncanny ability to see and predict the future, even if he couldn't make it happen anymore.
For example, he wrote in 1900 that we will be able to communicate with one another instantly, irrespective of distance. Not only this, but through television and telephone, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face.
He didn't realize it, but he was predicting FaceTime a century before it happened.
Tesla also predicted radar. With the First World War and then the coming of the Second World War, many inventors focused on developing weapons or military technology.
Tesla was a pacifist, so he was focused on ways to avoid bloodshed. He theorized that sending signals and receiving reverberations could determine the size and shape of an attacking boat.
He also speculated about a defense shield, something akin to Ronald Reagan's Star Wars program that wouldn't become practical until decades later.
There were also rumors that, in his later years, Tesla was working on a weapon called the Death Ray that would harness power and electricity to send out a powerful and destructive beam of energy.
But he never saw these come to light. Nikola Tesla died on January 7, 1943, at the age of 86 in the New Yorker Hotel. Appropriately enough, given his obsession with threes, he was in room 3327 on the 33rd floor. This was the third day a Do Not Disturb hung on the door. But a maid entered the room anyway and found Tesla. The medical examiner said the cause of death was coronary thrombosis, a blood clot in his heart.
Even though he was a U.S. citizen, the FBI actually seized Tesla's belongings under the Alien Property Act.
Tesla had died without much money and lost his fame. Still, almost 75 years later, the legacy of Nikola Tesla lives on.
In the final analysis, alternating current won out because it was a better system. Even Edison's company had switched over to Tesla's alternating current. Google founders Sergey Brin and Larry Page are said to be fans of Tesla. In fact, Page reportedly decided to become an engineer after reading a biography of Tesla when he was 12 years old.
And, of course, there is billionaire Elon Musk. When it came time to name his electric car company, he chose Tesla Motors.
Now, when we hear the name Tesla, we think of innovation and cutting-edge technology.
Which is as it should be, as it honors the memory of engineer and inventor Nikola Tesla. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Historical Figures.
A new episode comes out every Wednesday. So don't forget to subscribe to Historical Figures on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and on Twitter at Parcast Network or through our website, parcast.com. That's P-A-R-C-A-S-T.com.
As always, we thank you for listening.
Historical Figures was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound designed by Kenny Hobbs, with production assistance by Carrie Murphy. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Historical Figures is written by Stephen DeLello and stars Vanessa Richardson and Carter Roy.